only give this year, but you have to spend the time preparing this year for sure to give it on a high level and in a way that people find as meaningful as they find Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz this year. And if the only thing Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz did was give it Daf Yomi Shir, Dayenu, and we would have a tremendous amount of respect for him. Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz not only has done that for so many years, but he has a shul where he shepherds so many people through their lives, families, and we've had so many boys here in the yeshiva who are members of Rabbi Aryeh's shul. And he is the head of the Smicha program at Yeshiva University. And in the past, he taught at DRS and at Torah College. So much teaching, so many places, doing so much, impacting so many people, and at the same time, learning and teaching Daf Yomi on a very high level. And this should be a lesson to all of us. No matter what you're doing in life, no matter how busy you are, no matter how many important things, no matter how many jobs you have, the cornerstone, the anchor, is to make sure that your daily learning is done in a meaningful way. On a personal level, I want to thank Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz for being an inspiration to me and to so many at Yeshivat HaKotel, not only for his learning that we just described and his shiurim that we just described, but number one, for being a mensch, for being such a kind, sensitive. Every time you speak to him, he's always been so positive, so reinforcing, so wise, such a wonderful person to speak to. And number two, I cannot ever remember, ever, the time where I asked Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz to give shir, and he said, not only did he say no, but he said, wait, let me see, I'm not sure, I'll let you know. Right away, every time, like I did him the biggest favor in the world, that he should give shir. And so it shows you two things. Number one, his love of Torah. There are very few people I know who have the love of Torah that Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz has. There are others, tell me right away, Marina Shevchuk says, I don't think nobody else. But the tremendous love of Torah, and a tremendous commitment to wanting to try to impact as many people as possible in whatever way he can. And that's what all of us need to think about. How can we grow as people, as Lomdei Torah and as people, who can then have the maximum impact we can have on Klal? So let's all appreciate the words of Rabbi Aryeh coming out on this evening, this afternoon in New York, and sharing these words. He agreed right away. And let's inspire to be on our own level as much as we can be. Thank you again, Rabbi Aryeh. Let's unplug me and unplug him.
Okay, can I be heard? Give me a thumbs up when you can hear me. Do you hear me?
He's been talking also. So first of all,
Mario, talk a little bit so we can hear you. Make sure it's working.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Nope,
Let me know if you can hear me. Yes? Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi Tarrigan. I have to tell you, this is so inspiring and so emotional to be able to watch this young chevra come together and be able to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. You know, it was very doubtful for a while whether this would happen, and I'm getting so emotional just watching not only the fact that you're able to come together and learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, but that you're doing it with such simcha and you're bringing in the new Zman, despite all of the challenges, with such a great level of energy and joy. It's really something that I hope I make it through this little drasha without crying. It's really something that's extraordinary to see, and something that you owe a great deal to Rav Tarrigan and Rav Horn and the entire staff at Yeshivat HaKotel for making this happen. You guys should all be tremendously matzliach in your learning, and you should take in everything that your wonderful Rebbeim are teaching you, both in terms of the content of the Torah, the attitude toward the Torah, the sense of achrayus for the Jewish people. It's really something extraordinary, something so special to see, and I'm so grateful to be able to be part of this. I have to tell you, I did ask Rav Tarrigan Shlita how long I should speak for, and he did not give me a time limit. So I mamish have no idea, you know, when I don't know if this is another one of those all-night things that is supposed to go forever, or if it's, you know, just supposed to be three words of bracha, But I'm just going to share with you maybe a Dvar Torah on this week's parsha that I think relates to the learning of the Daf Yomi. And of course, I want to wish a mazel tov to all of those people who finished Masechah Shabbos. And I know there's a tremendous, high percentage of Yeshivat HaKotel Talmidim who have been learning the Daf Yomi, and that you deserve a great Yashar Koach and a mazel tov for finishing quite a challenging Masechta, and Erevin is challenging too, but Shabbos is a long Masechta, a challenging Masechta, and you learned it during challenging times. I want to share with you maybe just a Dvar Torah from this week's Parsha. You know, according to the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, which we'll get to in a few years in the Daf Yomi, the Parsha of Irani Dachas is one of those Parshios that's Droshu Kabel Schar, where the parsha itself never really happened and never would happen. It can't happen. We just learn it because we're going to get schar of limra Torah. It's the hagdil Torah lahadir. It's there are lessons to derive from it, but it never actually happens. And the Gemara has it listed along more famously with Ben Sora and Mora, perhaps less famously with Nige Batim, which are also considered to be impossible. But the question is, what's the connection between those three parshios? What's our limud from them, that they're only Joshua Kabbal Schar, so they're all about the limud. There's nothing about them that's practical. It's all about the takeaway. So what is that critical takeaway from these three parshios? And there's another group of three, another unfortunate triumvirate that Irani Dachas is really a part of. The three consecutive parshios of Mesis, Irani Dachas, and Navi Sheker. What's the common link between those three parshios? And other than that, they all sound really bad. Mesis, Navi Sheker, Irani Dach, they sound awful. But other than that, what's the connection between them? And finally, another question. What's so impossible about an Irani Dachas? You know the power of a group dynamic, the damage that can be caused by a group of people who influence others, a mob mentality? It could lead to absolute anarchy. What makes Irani Dachas so hard to believe? You have a few bad people who have incredible charisma that are able to bring along the masses for the ride. I could see it happening. Why is that so impossible to imagine that Irani Dachas has to be something that Chazal label as something that's impossible? So I once heard from Rav Sabalovsky Shlita, one of the great outstanding Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, where he suggested that the common link between all three of the Droshu Kabel Schar Parshios is that all of them start out very subtle. And that small problem becomes so big that there's nothing you can do to stop it. It becomes a runaway train. Had we caught the problem earlier, it could have easily been solved. If it was nipped in the bud, no problem. But then it grows and it snowballs. When it comes to Irani Dachas, it starts with a mesis, which involves Reuven telling Shimon to do something. And then Shimon tells Levi, and then the three of them influence a few others, v'chule, v'chule. And if you don't stop it there, it becomes an Irani Dachas. And that's why we're so hard on the mesis. The halacha is that lo sachma lo sechase alav, for any other chiv misa, we go out of our way to prevent a guilty verdict at all costs, and we keep an open mind for a limud zchus until the very last moment, until the execution itself. Yet for a mesis, we find cruel and old judges, you know, these crabby judges, we don't, you know, let them skip lunch even, and we don't pay any attention to any limud zchus. We even engage in entrapment to catch him. We don't do that to an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Why would we do that to the person who tells somebody else to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, when we don't even do it to the Ovid Avodah Zarah himself? Isn't the guy who does the Avera ultimately responsible for his actions more than the guy who told him to do it? Right? If your friend told you to jump off the Empire State Building, would you listen to him? That was the old line that we used to always hear. Who cares what somebody else told you? You should be responsible. But the point is that the Mesis is not just somebody who convinces another person to do an Avera. He's the founder of a movement. Even if he's unsuccessful, the halacha is that he's punished. We have to stop him before the movement picks up steam, before it becomes something. And the same is with the Ben Sora Mora. You know, what is it already? He's a child misbehaving in mild ways. He sneaks a drink at the shul kiddush. He raised the fridge late at night after his parents go to sleep. But when not caught in time, basof, he's nidol shem sofo. He's going to be an addict. He's going to be hopeless. He's going to be molastimus abrios. And the same is true with Nige Batim. It's also something that starts with a mild discoloration, but over time it just spreads, and it's a physical spread. It makes an impact that demands tearing down the entire house. But, you know, that is a very negative view. There's a tremendous silver lining in all of that. You know why Ira Nidachas is impossible? The Gemara tells us why it's impossible. The Gemara Sanhedrin asks the question and answers that if there was a single mezuzah, you wouldn't be able to destroy the city, because we're not permitted to destroy holy objects. You know, in Washington Heights, where I work, and Bez Hashem will be back to work in a couple of weeks every day, even in the non-Jewish areas, which are not places you want to be alone or you want to be, even in the non-Jewish areas of the Heights, there are mezuzahs in some of the doors, because people believe that it's good luck. Yeah, you could probably walk through the shuk. I don't know if you're allowed to or not. You walk through the shuk toward the Kotel, you'll find mezuzahs there too. It's a charm for some people. You'll see mezuzahs in the strangest of places. You'll see it hanging on a mirror, on a rearview mirror in a taxi. There's at least one mezuzah in the city. There's always at least one mezuzah in the city. And that's what the Gemara says. That's why you'll never have an Ir Nidachas. Why is that? Why does one mezuzah save the whole Ir Nidachas? It's not about the mezuzah necessarily. The mezuzah is a symbol. When everything else in the city is worthy of destruction, a little bit of kedusha can have a major impact. Zeh katon gadol yeh. What starts as something very small can become something very major. A little bit of tov can have an incredible impact on everything else. And Rav Shamsher and Frau Hirsch once explained that the term bracha comes from brecha, like a pool or a stream of water. What looks like a tiny drip in one location might expand out and become a raging rapid as it picks up further downstream. And that's the nature of bracha. It starts small and it becomes quite powerful. You know, what is it? What is one daf of Gemara? What is one daf of Gemara? It's one daf. You know, it's a very tiny percentage of Shas. But it's never about the one daf. It's one daf today, and it's another daf tomorrow. And then we find bracha. Then we find that drip after drip, we have a raging rapid of accomplishment in Torah, hopefully also of Yediyas HaTorah, of capacity to further understand Torah. Because once you have all the major concepts down from Maseches Brachos and Maseches Shabbos and Be'ez Hashem Maseches Erevin, you'll be able to understand so much more. You'll be able to learn so much more on such a deeper level. But how does that happen? How does a tiny Aveira lead to absolute catastrophe? And a tiny mitzvah lead to Yeshua. And for that, we remind ourselves of the key of an Ir Nidachas. Because Ir Nidachas is part of a different group as well, a cluster of parshios, like we mentioned at the beginning. A Navi Sheker, a Mesis, and an Ir Nidachas. All three involve the power that a person can have to influence somebody else by leveraging a relationship. A mesis leverages a family relationship. The Torah doesn't just say ki yisischa adam. It says ki yisischa achicha ben imecha. Someone who you feel close to, someone who has an impact on your life, he's going to be mesis you. A Navi Sheker leverages a sense of wonder and admiration. This guy seems so skilled. He seems able to predict the future. He seems so impressive. And he leverages that impression that you have of him. An Ir Nidachas leverages peer pressure. It could be generated, by a group of people. And those are things that we have to use, lebracha as well. That a person has an ability to connect with other people. The older guys in yeshiva with the younger guys in yeshiva. I still, you know, obviously I have such great karas hatov to my rebbeim from all the years. But I still remember the Shana Bet guys that came over to me when I was in Shana Aleph. I don't know how it works with the clusters and the bubbles or whatever you call them in yeshiva right now and what you're allowed to do. But when time permits, and I have, my understanding is Yeshiva HaKotel has built it in such a way where Shana Bet and Shana Aleph are already already able to connect on some level. But when time permits, you make sure that a Shana Bet guy connects to a Shana Aleph guy. The impact that can have is tremendous. The relationship and what that relationship can be leveraged into the Kedusha for the good can be tremendous. Remember, I remember certainly when I was in yeshiva how impressed I was, and I still am, with my rebbeim. Appreciate godless, and they know how they're not interested in the kavod. They're not interested. Your rebbeim certainly have no interest in all the admiration. But what they're so skilled at is to build relationships and use those relationships to build you. To allow you to become these outstanding B'nai Torah who are on fire with the love of Klal Yisrael. So this is what Daf Yomi has done for many, many people, and I think for Yeshiva Brachim in particular. You know, someone asked me last year, before the Siyam HaShas, a guy who was Shana Aleph in Yeshiva, asked if he should start learning Daf Yomi. Is it going to be good for his learning, or is it going to be bad for his learning? You know, there is the idea that learning a daf a day, it's so quick, and what am I really going to retain, and it's taking away from all the other things that I want to learn, and you know, these are all cheshbonos, and you could just talk them out with your rebbeim. I'll just point out, Rav Shechter told us that when Rameir Shapiro announced the Daf Yomi initiative, a number of the Hasidim were very upset. They said, only one daf a day? That's ridiculous. You got to learn something. How could you only learn one daf a day? So, you know, for us, it seems overwhelming. You know, there are people like that too, that learn many dafim a day. But you talk out your personal situation with your rebbeim. But what I told the fellow at that time, and I think unfortunately proved to be more than true, was that don't pick up Daf Yomi because it's going to help your learning in yeshiva. But when you're a ben yeshiva, you know how much ben azmanim time there is? You know how much time you're not in yeshiva? And what's going to be then? What the Daf Yomi does is it sets a tone. You start every day, and there's this automatic amount of time that has to be spent learning Gemara, that has to be spent learning the most challenging of all limudim, and that builds out. That's your mezuzah. That's the mezuzah that saves the Ernie Dachas and turns it into a makom of kedusha. That will turn could turn everything else around, that could turn times that are otherwise very challenging. And as it turned out, for all of you who are finishing Masechet Shabbos, what an unbelievable thing to look back on. You look back at a few months where everything could have fallen apart spiritually, as they did physically for much of the world. Everything could have fallen apart spiritually. But you had your mezuzah, you had your Daf Yomi, you had your set kavua limud each and every day, and therefore using that and other tools at your disposal, and with the chizuk of your rebbeim, you manage to grow to become greater b'nei Torah through all of this. Now you're ready for the exponential growth. Now you're back in yeshiva. It's a new zman. You're starting with such a high, such an incredible feeling of being in Eretz Yisrael, of being in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, of being able to connect with your rebbeim and connect with your friends. And now you're going to learn the Torah HaKadosha in a way like you never did before. And I wish you all, those who did the Daf Yomi, those who don't do the Daf Yomi, tremendous hatzlach in all of your learning. I again want to thank Rav Taragin Shlita for allowing me to share some Divrei Torah with you. It's such a tremendous, tremendous Suchos. I hope to be able to visit in person, but who knows? I hope to be able to see each of you as you continue to grow in your Limud HaTorah. And again, thank you very much for having me, and Mazel Tov on this wonderful accomplishment.